this light on.
Yeah, that'd be good.
You're on.
It's on?
Yep.
Okay. Well, you can tell I'm not used to doing this too often. Before I do get into my talk this morning, I'd like to tell you a story. Several weeks ago, Joyce and I went over to Anacortes for a follow-up on my eye surgery with Dr. Brown at Island Eye. And when we walked into the waiting room, there was Barbara Radix. I was kind of hoping she'd be here this morning, but she's not. And so we went over and sat next to her. And during the course of the conversation, I asked Barbara if she'd like to hear a story. Of course, Barbara always likes to hear stories. And so I told her about 10 years ago, I went downtown Cedarville to get a haircut. And to get to the barber shop, you have to walk by the beauty salon. And in the beauty salon was a woman who was a real good friend of my daughter, and she's a character, and she liked to play pranks. So anyway, she timed it just about right when I got into the barber chair, and she walks in and she stands right in front of me. The barber's cutting my hair. She puts her hands on her hips and she says, "Poor hungry children at home, and all they've had to eat for 2 days is a little bit of cornbread and milk, and you're downtown here spending money foolishly on haircuts and whatnot." She said, "You ought to be ashamed of yourself." And there was a couple other guys waiting, and they kind of looked around. They didn't know what was going on, and she was really trying to embarrass me, but it didn't really embarrass me at all, because I thought it was funny. And I told Barbara, I says, "You know, you've heard that song, that country song by Kenny Rogers." And she said, "No, she didn't know. She couldn't remember." And there was another couple sitting there in the waiting room, and they overheard all this conversation. And as soon as she said that, they boomed out, "You picked a fine time to leave me, Lucille. Four hungry children and a crop in the field." So every time I see Barbara now, she always calls me Lucille. Now, the reason I'm telling you this story is because I want to talk about being happy. I want to talk about being positive and goals, setting goals. This couple was obviously happy, and they were positive. You know, being happy can be hard work sometimes. It's like taking care of your home. You have to hang on to the good stuff and throw out the bad stuff, the garbage. You have to look for the good things. One person sees a gorgeous view, and the other person sees a dirty window. You choose what you see, and you choose what you think. Each one of us has a decision to make. We need to remind ourselves that we only have a short time to make the most of what we got. Or are we going to while away our lives thinking this is as good as it gets. An 85-year-old man once said, if I had my life to live over, I'd relax more. I'd take more chances. I'd take more trips. I'd climb more mountains. I'd play more golf. I'd swim more rivers. I'd go places that I've never been before. I'd eat more ice cream and chocolate, ride more roller coasters, watch more sunrises, watch more sunsets. Why, I'd even parachute out of an airplane. I'd spend more time with my kids. But at 85 years old, it's too late to live your life over. You can't change what's behind, only what's to come. In Psalms 103rd chapter, verses 15 through 16 reads, as for man, his days are like grass, as a flower of the field. So he flourishes when the wind has passed over it. It is no more, and his place acknowledges it no longer. My golfing buddy is 85 years old, and he's the most positive guy you ever met. Even his wife says so. Being positive. Look at Job. All in one day, his vast herds of camels were stolen, and the servants taking care of them were killed by a band of Chaldean robbers. At the same time, his oxen were stolen, and the servants taking care of them were killed by a band of Sabian robbers. His 7,000 sheep and servants were killed by a thunderstorm. His family of 10 children were all killed by a cyclone. And a little later, Job himself was struck with a painful disease thought to be a form of leprosy complicated with elephantitis, one of the most painful diseases known to man. Job, he wished he'd never been born and longs for death. His three friends seem to think he's suffering as a punishment for his sins. Job, the first chapter, verses 20 through 22 reads, then Job arose and tore his robe and shaved his head, and he fell to the ground and worshiped, and he said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Through all of this, Job did not sin, nor did he blame God. Job, the 42nd chapter, verses 10 through 17 reads, and the Lord restored the fortunes of Job when he prayed for his friends, and the Lord increased all that Job had twofold. Then all his brothers and all his sisters and all who had known him before came to him, and they ate bread with him in his house. And they consoled him and comforted him for all the evil that the Lord had brought on him. And each one gave him one piece of money, and each a ring of gold. And the Lord blessed the later days of Job more than his beginning. And he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, and 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 female donkeys. And he had 7 sons and 3 daughters. And he named the first Jemiah, and the second Kasiah, and the third Karen Hippich. And in all the land, no women were found so fair as Job's daughters. And their father gave them inheritance among their brothers. And Job lived 140 years. And he saw his sons and his grandsons 4 generations. And Job died an old man full of days. You see, Job was positive. Even at his worst, he fell down and worshiped God. It was a choice he made to be positive. It says over in Isaiah, the 12th chapter, verses 2 through 3, "Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord God is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. Therefore, you will joyously draw water from the springs of salvation." You see, disasters aren't so bad if we ask God for strength. We need to tackle them a piece at a time. The sooner we realize what we gain from the experience, the easier it is to deal with. You know, everybody goes through bad times. Car problems, lost your job, got stopped for speeding, bad operation, can't pay your bills. When will this bad stuff stop? When will it change? The answer, life changes when we change. Do you have enough air to breathe? Do you have enough food for today? Can you see? Can you hear? I can relate to this one, not very well. Being happy is not always easy. It takes a lot of discipline. We need to concentrate on what we have got rather than what we haven't got. We are in control of our own happiness as we decide the thoughts we think. No one else puts those thoughts in your head. We need to think happy thoughts. In Proverbs, the 23rd chapter, in verse 7, it reads, "For as he thinks within himself, so he is." And 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 12 reads, "Therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall." Shirley Fair heard me laughing the other day in the Cedar Woolley Bakery. That's where I go to sit and drink coffee a lot of times. She told me that laughter is a good medicine. She's right, you know. First, because she's a woman. And second, because she's older than I am. We need to enjoy having fun. We feel better, we work better, and people like being around someone who's upbeat, someone who's positive. Years ago, when I would say something funny, my dad would always say, "Don't laugh at him, that just makes him worse." You see, laughter relieves pain. You only laugh when you're relaxed. The more relaxed you are, the less pain you feel. You can't get ulcers and laugh at the same time, so I've been told. Have you ever watched Duck Dynasty on TV? Phil Robertson, the father of the clan, is always saying, "Happy, happy, happy." Now, Phil Robertson was a starting quarterback for Louisiana Tech. Terry Bradshaw was his backup quarterback. That should tell you the quality of player that Phil was. However, Phil was more interested in fishing and hunting than he was football. And everybody knows that Terry Bradshaw went on to win 4 Super Bowls with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Now, Phil got a master's degree of education. And then after a lot of trouble he had with drinking, at age 28, he gave his life to the Lord and was baptized for the forgiveness of his sins. The whole family attend the Church of Christ in Monroe, Louisiana. After he got established in making duck calls, a guy called him about ordering a duck call. And during the conversation with Phil, he used the Lord's name in vain several times. Phil asked him why he kept cursing God. He said, "He's the only one who can save you from death." There was dead silence on the other end. Then he said, "You got my order?" And Phil replied, "Yes." The man hung up. Several minutes passed, and the man called back, and he said, "I've been thinking about what you said." And Phil says, "You ought to." He told the guy, he says, "Come on over and see me, and I'll tell you the story about the one you've been cursing." A week later, a young man shows up, and he asks Phil if he knows who he is. Phil says, "I don't." He says, "I'm the one who called and placed an order for a duck call and was cursing God." He had a buddy with him, and Phil invited them in and told them the story of Jesus Christ. When he finished, they were both crying. Phil took both of them down to the river and baptized them that night. Why were they happy? Because they had left a bad lifestyle and chose to follow the Lord. You know, Abraham Lincoln once said, "Most people are about as happy as they make up their minds to be." We need to set goals for ourselves. I read a book, and I also saw the movie called The Unbroken. It's about two airmen captured during World War II and placed in a concentration camp. They calculate only 1 out of 28 men may come out of a concentration camp alive. The one that usually survives wasn't the fittest or the healthiest or the best fed or the most intelligent. The one that usually made it had a goal. One of them wanted to see his wife one more time. That was his goal. Goals are what keeps us going. Years ago, I went to work for Farmer Supply, delivering propane. The guy whose place I took retired, and he died 2 months later. When we lose our momentum in our direction, we're in trouble. In Proverbs, the 3rd chapter, verses 5-6 reads, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight." Most people in the know insist that you write your goals down. When you go grocery shopping, you have a list, or else you forget what you came for. Some people need a list just to go from one room of the house to the next, and I think I'm there. Most people spend more time planning a birthday party than planning their lives. Lists do work for grocery shopping, and they work for life. Joyce, she's always making a list for me to do. And we've been married 53 years, and I've learned a long time ago never mess with a cook. So I always try to do what she tells me on her list. I know what Job's goals were. In Job, the 29th chapter, in verse 10, it reads, "Then his wife said to him, You still hold fast to your integrity? Curse God and die. But he said to her, you speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we accept good from God and not accept adversity? In all of this, Job did not sin with his lips. What is your main goal? Is your goal heaven? If it isn't, it should be. Matthew, the 13th chapter, in verses 44 through 50 reads, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field, which a man found and he hid, and from joy over it goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking fine pearls. And upon finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet cast into the sea and gathering fish of every kind. And when it was filled, they drew it up on the beach and sat down and gathered the good fish into containers. But the bad they threw away. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels shall come forth and take out the wicked from among the righteous and will cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Matthew, the 6th chapter, in verses 19 to 21 reads, do not lay up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You see, we as Christians need to serve the Lord faithfully and strive to reach that happy home. And only when we get there will our happiness be complete. If you are a Christian, you've accepted Christ as your Savior, Lord and Master, and you follow the way that He taught. This means peace of mind, contentment of heart, forgiveness, happiness, hope, life abundant, life that never shall end. I read somewhere you can live so long without water. You can live so long without food. But you can never live very long without hope. I've always believed that hope and dreams are what keeps us going. How can anyone go through life and face death without hope? Hope of eternal life, heaven. If you're here this morning and you have no hope of eternal life, we're going to sing an invitation song. We want to encourage you to come forward if you have any need at all as we stand and sing.